Hello and welcome to Hustle, a new podcast providing industry advice for women in music. Are you passionate about music and want to stop the hustle and make your dreams a reality? Then this is the podcast for you. Not only do I interview other female artists, but labels, promoters, collectives, and everything in between. I also dive into the nitty-gritty business and marketing side. You can expect positive energy, motivation, a lot of laughs, and of course, inspiring guests. Hosted by myself, Eliza, the founder of Good Vibes Only Music, I'm a full-time DJ and entrepreneur. Thank you for listening. Please follow and subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Peace, love, and good vibes always. Today on Hustle, we're going to be speaking to Yvette Chivers, DJ and producer spanning all genres of dance music from disco and funk through to breakbeat and D&B. Head of Sparkle and now the legendary Whoosh Parties. She is also known as Miss Chivers. In 17 years working in the music industry, she has managed artists including Wolfgang Fleur, X Kraftwerk, produced Ronnie Size radio shows, Full Spectrum, planned and managed events from festival stages to pro audio band promotion, educational tours, and manages the marketing and promotion for international audio brands such as Traction and Prism Sounds. Founder of the International B-Side Project Remix Contest, which is now in its 10th year, and key organizer of live stream producer of the Adam Audio Women in Music Online series, which some of you will remember from the last lockdown. Yvette is also a radio producer and presenter, currently featuring on the BBC That Friday Feeling show and weekly show on Point Blank Radio, and previous radio live streams for the Secret Garden Party and Board Masters Festival. Hey, Yvette, how are you doing? Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
I'm good. And what an intro. It's quite a lot, isn't it?
Honestly, when you actually have to write down what you do, you're like, oh, yeah, I've done a lot. I'm busy.
Yeah, you only realise it when you actually have to write a bio. Like, it's crazy. And then you worry, oh God, am I like kind of bigging myself up too much? But no, be proud of it. That's the whole point, isn't it?
Oh my God, always big yourself up. What do they call it? Like an elevator pitch. Everyone needs an elevator pitch. Because otherwise you're like, oh man, I really wish I'd said what I am doing and kind of like been that girl, as opposed to being like, I'll DJ and I'll do a few other things.
Exactly. I think it's a major thing, actually. It's what's come up in conversation a lot with the Adam Audio series, right? And a lot of like women in music stuff in general, is that we just put ourselves down too much. We kind of don't want to do that because we don't want to come across as like unapproachable we need to, it's about, you know, just celebrating each other, but also celebrate yourself. Like, be proud of what you've done and what you're going to do.
Yeah, and what you're going to do as well. Yeah, that's it. But cool. So yeah, thanks for coming on. Tell us, how did you get into music? What's your story?
Oh gosh, right. So I've always been into music from a child, but I started really late. I started DJing when I was about 26.
Nice.
And for, you know, industry, that's kind of late.
Kind of late now.
Yeah, right, exactly. And then but the reason being is because it's my dad. He was always into his Motown records, like the Stax, Atlantic, that kind of stuff. So I grew up with that, and on my mum's side she was into kind of disco, and I collected records since I was about 15-16, just from charity shops. You know, my dad would never give me his. He has now, by the way.
Yeah.
I've now got his whole box of 45s. It's great.
Everything.
I know. But yeah, started collecting them just for fun. And then when I went to uni, just loved going out, loved clubbing, got into the kind of rave scene a little bit, but never was involved in music. I just kind of was a bit of a social animal. Mm-hmm. And it was when I got back to Cambridge, settled down there, was kind of working in a kind of, you know, corporate job, and saw this lad playing. He was warming up to a techno night in Cambridge, playing Motown. And I was like, that's exactly what that's brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that it's being accepted by people our age and not just kind of, you know, old dad heads and whatever. So I went to chat to him and he said, oh, let's put on a night then. So we got chatting and obviously he got my passion. Got to the night, it was called Sweatbox, but we had to change it and we ended up calling it Uptight, based on Stevie Wonder.
Okay, cool.
And the premise was Motown soul into a bit of dance music. And we got there on the night. It was luckily it was a small venue, a bar in Cambridge. And he said, where are your records? So I don't DJ. And he was like, well, you need to go and get your records now because you're on the bill. So yeah. he assumed from what my passion and me talking about music, he assumed a DJ. So literally my dad had to run back home, get his records. I literally said to the engineer, how do I make it go from that thing to that thing? I didn't even know what decks were called or mixer, nothing. So literally Baptism of Fire just played my first set that night. Luckily, Motown, there's no beat matching, you know, it's just flow. But it was still pretty hairy, but from that point could not stop. And then developed from the Motown, then started night, developed it uptight into a monthly night where it went into breakbeat because that was my kind of electronic music love.
Yeah.
And I learned on the job, like literally could not do it and learned on the job. I had one of my first gigs at the Ministry of Sound was only about a year later. And my sister, when we were driving down there, she said, you do realize you can't beat match. And I was like, I'm fully aware of this, but I'm just going to see what happens. And luckily,
for the support.
And luckily, I mean, you know, obviously people have a few drinks down. They don't really notice when you kind of, you know, twang a set, but it was fine. And just that kind of get up and go attitude. I think, I can't do it, but if I can't do it and it doesn't work out, at least I tried, but luckily it works out. And then since then I've been DJing, like I now can beat match, by the way.
just putting it in there. Honestly, it's funny. I remember when I listened back to some sets that I was doing back in the day on the radio or like I'd recorded sets. And I mean, good Lord, I was terrible. Like in comparison to like now, and you're like, wow. And at the time I thought, I was like, I've really got this.
Well, I never thought I really had it, to be honest. I was always just like, you know, I accepted that it was just you know, learning on the job. But it's mad. I think I've always used the excuse that I don't record my sets or haven't until recently because I'm a technophobe and the sets are different every time. And if you record them, it could be a studio mix. But it's because I was never confident on how they were. But I think everyone around me knew I was better than what I thought I was.
Yeah.
But due to the lockdown and us doing live streaming from home, and then listening to him back, I'm like, actually, that mix that I thought was bad wasn't bad. You're such more of a, you know, you're your own worst critic.
Oh my God, 100%. You're the wrong. Yeah, 100%. You give yourself such a hard time. You're like, clang.
Exactly.
Like this. It's track number 3 and 4. Yeah, right. It's the end of the world.
The one that you thought you did badly actually was probably the best one. But it's one of those things where I feel so lucky and honored to have just fallen into it. And it's now my full-time kind of, you know, job career, but not, I mean, I don't DJ full-time, but it is part of the job. And I still can't believe I get paid for it. You know, it's, but all these other things have spanned from it that I do. And it's become a career that I created. So it's great.
Yeah. So talk to us about what you actually do now then. So talk to us how you've evolved from, I mean, B-side projects is a huge thing. So actually, where do you want to go? Do you want to talk about B-side project first?
B-side, Awesome. So from my love of dance music, I also, when I was younger, kind of managed or was an agent for local bands in Cambridge. Mm-hmm. And it was always a case of you've got your dance music friends and you've got your live band friends. And I always wanted to put them in the same room, but it was very difficult. So that's essentially where the premise of B-side came from. It was get local artists to submit a track and get local dance producers to remix a track randomly. Perfect. So you get people meeting each other that would never have met before.
Yeah.
And from a pilot in Cambridge and Norwich 11 years ago, it's just grown and it became international. And we ended up with, you know, bands entering, say like a grunge band from Seattle would end up getting a techno producer from Berlin.
Nice.
And they'd all, but they'd always first go, oh, I don't know if this is going to work out, or I don't know what I'm going to do, or, you know, but the ones that stay on it, and that's the point. Sorry, my dog's just got a pen that you shouldn't be eating. The ones that stay on it are the ones that are up for the creative kind of push.
Yeah.
And the whole point is kind of to come out of your comfort zone. And the array of tunes that come from it are amazing. And so many people, these bands and these producers from different countries, and the main thing is they have to be from a different country to get paired. They stay in touch. The majority have stayed in touch and they still work with each other. And, you know, for the first 5 years, I didn't do it to get paid. I just had this idea. And I spent my money on it and everything. And then halfway through, maybe 5 years later, random meet with the director, the owner of Prism Sound, which is a high-end interface company.
Yeah.
He just said, we love this idea. We want this as part of our marketing mix. And I was just like, thank God for that. Like, you know, now it can actually be a job. And but I never went for it to do that. And I think in music, I think, you know, not for everyone, but I think if you do it for the love of it first, I think that's when you'll have the longevity of a career.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to do it for the money, Yeah. And I don't think it will last that way. I think you'd have to have the kind of innate passion and almost a bit of stupidity to kind of like not pay your bills for a year and just carry on with it, you know?
Yeah.
But now it's running. It's in its 10th year. Traction Software are now, you know, a sponsor. Cool. Brilliant brand partners like Adam Audio, you know, Sure. Like it's, and it, I knew from that point that this idea I had when in my sleep pretty much would open up doors for me to have a career from,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And also just meeting these amazing people around the world, you know, that are creating music.
Oh, it's fantastic. I think that there's so many different branches in the music industry of where you can take, you know, I mean, if you're not going to be able to make money, I mean, there is good money to be made from DJing full time, but there are so many other opportunities like projects you can just literally design and get off the ground. Like Good Vibes Only, for instance, was just an idea that I had. B-side Project's an idea you had. And now they're like feasible kind of businesses, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And it's about having that faith in yourself. Like,
oh my God,
it is scary. And it is scary. And you do doubt yourself constantly. And it's just about kind of cutting out the noise and just doing it. And if you have the idea, and I've made mistakes along the way, you know, I've made some major mistakes along the way, but then I think it was Richard Branson said, if you don't fail, you won't succeed, something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have to fail a few times, and it's all about learning, and through that you'll meet the right people that will help you along the way as well.
Yeah. It's that grit, determination, isn't it? Head down and make this work. This will work. Yeah. I believe my heart of hearts, this will work. And
exactly.
That's it, isn't it? And I think, you know, it's the passion that comes with music as well I think drives us forward, doesn't it? So
it does. It does. And the people that you end up working with,
yeah,
the ones that have your back and the ones that support you, you know, they can see that you're not, it's a real fight. You can't actually do it kind of on purpose. It's a fine balance of having that passion and that grit and determination, and also not being desperate.
Yeah, because you know desperation, I mean? Like, is a funny stench, isn't it? So
yeah,
I think
yeah.
if you're doing it for the right reasons, then that it's almost like you're selling the dream, aren't you? Selling the dream you've created, and people are buying into that dream. And that's what I love about music. But you can definitely tell the people that are doing it for like some kind of different reasons. You can work out who they are, can't you? And then their projects or their career doesn't have the longevity that everybody else does.
I do find it's like a, you know, I mean, nowadays there's a lot more support and like things like, you know, Good Vibes Only. I mean, there's a lot more support there than what we had back in the day. But
God,
I think, a lot, right? We had to really find it. But I think what is funny is it's the same with the male kind of DJs from back in the day. They become known in their like 30s and 40s. They become really successful then. And I'm finding that with the women that I know. You know, it's like if you can stay in it, then you'll find that you'll become comfortable, not just in terms of like actually being able to pay the bills, but you'll become comfortable in yourself because you're that bit older, that bit more mature. You do kind of, you know, just don't listen to the kind of negativity.
Yeah. And I think actually a lot of the number one DJs, you know, top 10, top 20, top 30 DJs, they had a 10-year career before they made it. It took 10 years. And I mean, this is what I had this conversation actually with another DJ friend, and she was like, you know, I'm into year 8. I feel like I'm getting there, you know. And I was like, yeah, actually, if you think about it, I'm about the same. Well, I'm coming up to, oh God, I can't think now, 8 years of DJing professionally and getting paid for it. And, you know, but then Good Vibes Only with the projects and stuff and things and the retreat. And that's where things are going. So then maybe that will be my 10-year kind of got this.
Exactly. And it's all about those things that stem off the DJing, you know. I'm not saying that you have to. I think I'll be DJing forever, you know. I did think back in the day, I won't be raving when I'm 40, but I'm 43 now, this coming up to. And it's just, you know, but things that stem off it, where you're not looking for the limelight. I'm never looking for the limelight. I love putting on a good party and seeing people happy.
Yeah.
But I never wanted fame. But I think in the breakbeat scene and the drum and bass scene, what is nice is you have that support. You're not commercial, but you're still earning money. You're still in a dance music kind of industry.
Yeah.
But finding yourself supporting other people with projects is where you'll get the respect as well, you know?
Yeah. And I think some of us are designed, like I've got a business brain, you know, as you do as well. And, you know, playing music and playing tunes is great, you know, maybe a little bit of production, but we're cut from the same cloth. We need more. Like it needs to have more projects. There needs to be more business focused stuff. There needs to be things of how we can help other people. And that's taking our skill set from, you know, the real world, basically, back in the day and applying it to what we our passion now. And I think there's a real market for that. And it's exciting exactly. to see what people's projects are coming on. The Adam Audio stuff you did for the that was in the first lockdown, wasn't it?
It was. It was in the we planned it in the first. So we were supposed to have a physical event. International Women's Day last March. And then obviously that got completely kind of cut out. And then we decided to move it onto online. And I mean literally it blew out the water. It was incredible. You know, like we had over thousands of live viewers, which never, you know, unprecedented. And it basically, it added another skill set for me because I'd always done work with teams doing live streaming from events, like, you know, like doing live broadcasts from Secret Garden Party and Ball Masters. We did Annie Mack. We did some live video and audio from her parties at Tobacco Dock. And it's always with a huge camera team, you know, lots of tech going on. And then there's little old me producing the live streams from audio from my living room.
Yeah.
You know, using a really good platform that would never have been there a couple of years ago. So lockdown, in a weird way, I think obviously we have to have physical events, but in terms of engaging more people for brands like Traction and Prism Sound and doing those educational things and Adam Audio, it's just opened up that massive, in a good way, Pandora's box. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, hats off to you, to be honest. I mean, to go from actually having what would have been a live event to then having to pull it in to be online and not really knowing it. That was the unknown. No one really did live, like online events. It was like a bit like you'd go to a live one, wouldn't you? So having to think on your feet and turn that around in what was not a very long time at all.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't just one event. It was a 6-part series over 6 weeks.
It was 6 part. Because you had Anna Lakatos. She was doing some of the Ableton. So she's super cool. And I can't remember who else.
We had Kate Tavini from 2% Rising. 2% Rising, she's a mastering engineer.
She's lovely.
And then the final, she's brilliant. And we had a big panel on A&R and labels. Yeah. We had a big panel on marketing and social media. Yeah. And then we had the last one, we had Wendy and Lisa from Prince's Band, which was awesome.
So it's just good.
If we'd done a live one, we wouldn't have got all of that. And I met so many brilliant contacts came out of it that I never expected to meet, that has driven other things forward as well.
It's crazy because people actually had the time to dedicate to it because obviously they're all sat at home.
Looking
for something to do. So, you know, thank you, COVID, I suppose you could say, right?
I know. I found as well, I think there's two positives I've taken from COVID is the fact that, well, three maybe, it calmed me down a lot because I was always 100% going forward too fast, really.
Yeah.
Made me take a step back and pick and choose what I wanted to do rather than just being a bit, FOMO and trying to do everything.
Yeah.
And then also, it's like I've noticed in the last kind of month, really good, like positive old contacts from the music industry coming through and re-engaging.
Nice.
You know, now that everyone's kind of come out of that secluded kind of like zone that they were in, that's really nice. And then also I had my first weekend away about a month ago, and oh my God, I've never taken anything for granted so much before as social life. Now I'm just so happy and literally like really, really genuinely happy every time I see a friend for a cup of tea or, you know, go out to do a little set in front of 20 people.
Yeah.
You know, nothing's going to be taken for granted anymore.
No. It's having the time to have some real conversations, I think, is something that I've taken away from it. And also getting away from socials. Especially the very first lockdown, I was like, oh God, I'm just rolling out of a ridiculously busy summer into a busy winter season. And, you know, to have some actual time off work, like as in there is no work, no guilt, no nothing, because the guilt gets you. I can never say no to work, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, it's pretty much almost burnout. And then having it all taken away was absolutely brilliant for me, to be honest.
Yeah, in hindsight, definitely. I've had a couple of burnouts, you know, in the last kind of like 5 years, like proper ones. And it's just now, right, you know, just take your time. And these are kind of moments and the way you can develop your ideas, just, you know, getting them on paper. Yeah. And you know, it's from that. I mean, so now kind of moving forward, I'm doing live stream series for Traction Software and for Prism Sound.
Nice.
And they were like, let's do one a week. And I was like, no, we're doing one a month. I know exactly how much work goes into it. Everyone thinks it's just, oh, pal, there it is. But the amount of like planning, the amount of promotion, the amount of organizing, the people that are on it.
Yeah.
Don't realize how long that takes. So, you know, it's good though. We're doing a 6-part, well, that's actually ongoing, but for the next 6 months, we've got one a month for each of those brands to educate everyone on general music stuff, you know.
So, okay. How can people, so how do we get involved in that? How do people view this or watch it or what?
There's one for Traction, which will be kind of interjected. One month it will be on like, so the first month, which we'll see, we would already have had. So yeah. That'll be a link up on TuneCore, how to distribute music.
Yeah.
So not actually about the brand itself. It's just about the music industry.
Okay.
And then it will be, really cool. It will be about certain plugins, kind of quite technical each month.
Yeah.
And then Prisma Sound is going to be in conversations with amazing engineers and producers. You probably wouldn't have heard of their names, but you would have heard of who they've worked with.
Right.
That kind of thing. So they're really like, whoa, I didn't know that person worked there. Because there's so many people in the background that don't get highlighted or don't get kind of given the kudos that they should.
Yeah. So,
that's what we do. So to get involved, it literally will be on the Prisma Sound Facebook.
Okay,
Prisma
cool.
Prisma Sound Recording or Prisma Sound.
Yeah.
And then Traction is Traction Software. So literally find those pages and it's live streamed on there every month. Yeah.
Cool. So what I'll do is once we finish this, you pop me those links, I'll add them in so people can check them out when this goes out.
Exactly. And they'll be so good to, you know, for our kind of our networks to get involved in.
Yeah.
Just to learn more, really. Yeah.
Yeah, you can never learn enough. I mean, there's so many things. I mean, we're constantly forever learning, aren't we? So
exactly. And the other thing I've learned through the career and through, I mean, and we talked about this before, I know we have, is that don't also try and learn too much. I've literally only just got to the point where I realize I can't do everything. I want to produce. I've got a producer's head, but I haven't got an engineer's head.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to work with engineers rather than trying to learn a door myself.
Yeah.
My brain just is too full with other things, like we said, the business side of stuff. So don't give yourself a hard time if you're not a creative, director or creative, person. Find someone or meet someone that can do the graphics for you. You don't have to always be like jack of all trades. You know, we always try to do that, I think, too much, and just create a network of your own. And that's what, you know, our network, you know, the kind of Good Vibes Only and all these different networks are there for, so you can create your own team.
Oh my God. Yeah. 100%. Cause I think actually, if you know, it's like knowing your niche, isn't it? You know, you may be a very good producer, but you're not so good at other things. Like you can't do mastering. So don't try farm it out. Like you may be starting to DJ and you don't really know how to do some other things. You can get free logos from people on the internet. You can get templates for things. You know, if you reach out to these collectives or to you, to me, or to people in the industry, you're going to get an art, like a kind of go-to of how to help yourself out.
Exactly. Me and some friends were talking about that at the weekend I went away on, and it's all about value. Like it's not about money, it's about value, it's about trade swapping.
Yeah,
you know, it's like trade. And people still, you know, do that, and it's really important, you know, and to be passionate and to do not undersell yourself. Don't do things for free, but just kind of trade swap is brilliant. And then you get this team of people around you that you all trust each other, you're helping each other out, and because you know that you know the value in each other.
Oh my God. I love it. Do you know what? I love a good gig swap. So you play for me for free and I'll play for you for free.
Definitely.
But it has to be at different venues in different locations. And I love that. And if you can't play, if you can't swap me a gig back, well, then you have to play for me for free. But, you know, if you can, let's swap and let's like network and let's get out there together. Because I love that. I do that quite a lot. Well, I'm doing that quite a lot this summer. I always do it every winter. And it's a great way to get to know somebody, but also get to know another venue, another crowd. It's great for networking.
It is. And it's, it's self-promotion. And we in Cambridge, that's all we do. Like we've never... Yeah. charge each other. There's so many good promoters and we're all about the same age, and there's one event literally would just have happened called Beats from the East, and not Beast from the East, which is the storm, it's called Beats from the East, and it's literally about six seven promoter groups from Cambridge that have all got together from it with this collaborative called Kite High, and literally no one's charging. It's literally a chance for everyone to get together, and all the Cambridge heads that love dance music as a whole to get together. But that always happens, you know. No one, I mean, I'll always pay people expenses, make sure they're not out of pocket, but it's always about a DJ spot, right, in locally.
Shouts out to the Cambridge people.
Exactly, right?
So what's going on, B-Side Project? When's the, have you got a next one in the pipeline?
Yeah, basically it's got a 2021. So the 10th one will be this year. So basically the Facebook is B-Side Project HQ. So just like that page and you'll get the updates on there. And we will be launching it. So the first, I think it's going to be in August, September. We'll basically do the call out for live bands.
Yeah.
Worldwide. And it'd be a case of, if you've got a track, send it in and we basically shortlist 50.
Lovely.
Yeah. And then the second month, then we kind of just do a call out for producers. And the producer numbers aren't limited. So last time we did it, we had 250 producers that actually stayed in the project. So each of the bands got 5 remixes.
Nice.
Yeah, of different genres. So that's how it works. We'll be launching it later this year, but just literally check out the Facebook page. There's Instagram as well. It's B-Side Project. And there will be announcements through there. But of course, I'll put it through your channels as well.
Oh, so, my God.
Because we need more females. In the 10 years it's been going, there's literally been about 20 females take part as a producer.
Oh my God. Do you know what? I think that'll change this year. I really do believe there's quite a big influx of women this year that have either evolved through lockdown or just kind of changed or had some confidence or done a course or something like that. Yeah. So I think this year into next year, there's going to be a real big spike.
I really hope so. And we're going to be pushing that, aren't we? So we're going to kind of reintroduce a female producer award in it, you know.
Nice.
Just to engage with and go to a lot more colleges, because Prism Sound and Traction engage with a lot more colleges worldwide. So really bring in the kind of music production students.
Yeah.
But we're going to have a real focus through our networks on the female producers, because we need to get the confidence in, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. 100%. It's all about confidence. It's all about like empowering and uplifting other women. Yeah. And it's a great, you know, if there's any women listening to this, you know, which I like to think there would be, you know, they're just connect with people, you know, especially with all the projects you're up to, the ones I'm doing.
Yeah.
And you don't know where it's going to lead. You really don't. And there's some great chats going on in 2% Rising. There's some great chats happening in Female DJ Networks.
Yes.
What else have we got on there? We Are Listening, Red Bull Normal Novelty.
Female Producers of the World. There's that one as well.
Oh, like, my God. Yeah. Women in Music.
There's loads. But also don't be scared to kind of like directly miss it. I mean, like what we met, because I directly messaged you. No, you did me actually. Yeah. And it's like, don't be... whoever's nice, whoever's on your level will reply.
Be genuine and make your message, and you know, just think about what you're writing to somebody as well. Like, you know, say for example, if I was to write to you or you were to write to me, we don't have a lot of time, so you want to be straight to the point. You want to be, you know, what you want to do, structure your message well.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You know, make it heartfelt, and you will get a very good response back from you.
Just be genuine.
Exactly,
just be genuine. And that kind of leads on to the next thing. Like, I'm not doing too much. It's brilliant. I love being this busy again. But I start a weekly show on Point Blank Radio.
Nice.
This month. So literally, that's a, you know, Point Blank Radio was Point Blank FM. They were, they've been one of the longest running pirates in London. And they've just got their license. So now
FM license.
They've just got their license on DAB. And obviously they're online, so literally like they're growing, their branding's going nuts as well. So literally, just from this, anyone that wants me to play a track, just we'll find out a way that you can, you know, we'll put out my email link or something that, you know, we can give.
Yeah,
I can
literally
play any dance tracks on there.
That's cool. So when is that happening? Is that
It would have already started. So literally, it's weekly Wednesdays.
Wednesday.
4 till 6 or 2 till 4. I can't remember, but I'll send you the link for it. But literally, you know, I can play out any dance music on there. The underground, the better, you know.
Nice.
The focus will be on remixes, but it doesn't matter if it's not a remix. I just want to get, you know, and it's a way for me to help your network promote themselves. So
That's fantastic. Yeah. So come on, ladies, like there'll be contact details in the show notes. Get your remixes, get your tracks over to Yvette.
Exactly.
And you never know where this is going to lead.
No,
really,
and don't be scared if it's not mastered. Yeah. Like literally we can sort that out. Like I work with Cut the Rocks, one of my good friends, and he runs a mastering service, and it's not expensive. And of course, Kate Davini, but you know, don't be afraid if it's not mastered. We can help you out with that anyway.
Yeah. So that's cool. Exactly. So what else is on the cards for you this summer? Already you sound super busy.
Yeah, I know, right? I've done a set already at That Beats from the East. That's just like, I'm so happy that things are happening again. And then I'm not actually, like I said, I'm picking and choosing. So I've got Whoosh, which is my annual event.
Yeah.
That started 5 or 6 years ago, and it's in November, which is kind of, everyone thinks, oh, well, that's weird. It's a mini kind of festival vibe in November. But it's out of the competition of all the other festivals.
Oh my God.
November.
Yeah. Great timing, mate. Great timing.
Exactly. And it's not, you don't camp obviously because it's cold, but it's fireworks weekend. So the premises, it's like, you know, good 12 hours in a venue, but with an outside area, fire spinners, fireworks display. main room is breakbeat. Then we've got a drum and bass in the house room. It's just really, it's very festival vibey.
Yeah,
and
nice.
It's
just,
yeah, it's grown over the last 5 or 6 years. And this year, I've always had one breakbeat headline. I work with Fingerlicking on it.
Nice.
It's ridiculous. I was such a fangirl, right, in my 20s of Fingerlicking and of like the Plumps and you know, Crafty Cuts, all these people. And now my mates, and I still have to pinch myself. It's like, oh God, this is weird. Like, so I'm now working with them. It's crazy. So I'm partnering with them, and literally got five of the Fingerlicking headliners in one room in
oh
November.
Oh my
Can't
God.
Wait.
Who? Tell us.
So far, well, I can tell you three of them.
Okay.
Pump DJs, Crafty Cuts, A Skills. That's three of them.
Oh,
so.
Stop it. I mean, fuck, if it's just that, three, that's enough. Wow.
So yeah, it's literally a kind of almost dream come true.
Yeah.
Just need to make sure I kind of don't peak too early and can enjoy it.
Yeah, and watch the space for the other two headliners, basically. Wow.
Exactly,
cool.
exactly. But that's awesome. We probably will live stream a little bit, but it's just, you know, I'm just glad that things are opening up again. Really am. And but also, like we said, in hindsight, so many people have come together virtually, and these groups have developed because of COVID. So we've got to actually appreciate the year we've had, rather than think it was crap, because it's actually all right in the end.
I mean, life is what you make it. Everything is what you make it. You only get out what you put in.
Exactly.
And that's the same for the last year for me, to be honest. I've had a great year.
Yeah. exactly. And I think people are a lot more supportive, and a lot of people, especially in our industry, like mental health, like went down for a lot of people I know, especially my pals that work in live music.
Yeah.
And but because of that, we've all become much more supportive as well, and a lot more empathic, a lot more understanding. And I think that's been needed in the music industry, and it's now finally started to become a lot more aware.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's been so many mental health live streams, so many mental health events, and I think it's really brought it to the forefront of everybody's mindset, hasn't it? Which is great. Yeah. You know, it's that's how it should be. It shouldn't be like a taboo subject at all.
No. And I think, you know, people shouldn't think, oh, just because you're a DJ or you play music, oh, you're gonna be happy all the time. The fact that we couldn't go out, I mean, I couldn't believe it. I was still working, I was still doing social media for companies and stuff, but there was no achievement that I could achieve once a month. You know, it was just kind of Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
And because of that, even just going out and playing one set, it's an achievement. You look forward to it. You get your adrenaline. You get your butterflies in your tummy. There was none of that, and that really affected a lot of people's mental health. But it's all good. It's all on the up now. So
it's all on the up now. It is all on the up. And who knows what's going to happen with the UK? I mean, 21st, is that's like the big day? What's your thoughts?
Oh no, I think that's been put off, isn't it? But I think just I think just the fact that locally we can all see each other again. You know, that's the first step. And I did have it in my mind that I wasn't going to go too hard too soon, because I think from the lockdown, I'm a social butterfly, but I've definitely got social anxiety from it. So I need to take things slowly and like ease myself slowly into social life again. So actually just doing things locally, then branching yourself out a little bit more slowly and slowly, I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I think that's some great advice, mate. So, if people need to get hold of you, how do they go about? What's the best way? Is it via Instagram or Facebook? Or
some people don't use Facebook. My DJ page is DJ Miss Chivers, all one word, really easy. I'm really open to people like hitting me up on my personal as well, which is just Miss Chivers.
Okay.
On Facebook. And then Instagram is Miss Chivers UK. And I check all of them, you know, so
Lovely.
It's all good. Hit me up on there. And I'm very happy to give them, once we chat, to give my personal email address and phone number for WhatsApps, you know. All good.
Lovely. And then there's obviously the B-side project and then the other lives, of which we'll add all the links in the notes and then people can connect that way. Lovely.
Exactly. Yeah.
But thank you so much for coming on the thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been lovely to chat to you, as always.
Really good to see you again and hear you again. And yeah, just it's awesome what you're doing. Love it.
Thank you. You've been listening to Hustle, industry advice for women in music. Thanks again for taking the time to listen to this podcast. Please follow, subscribe, rate and give us a review. Help us to move up in the iTunes chart so that we can bring you more and more amazing guests. Thanks again. For more info on what we're up to, please check out our website, www.goodvibesonlymusic.com. Peace, love, and good vibes always. See you next week.